Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the parsonage, there is this little room to the left of the foyer. You can tell it was designed to be the pastor's home office. And I know that's what Pastor Meyer and probably every other pastor before me who has lived there used it for. However, if you would have gone into that room shortly before we moved, you would have not seen an office chair or filing cabinets. You wouldn't have seen a telephone or a computer. Instead, you would have seen plastic bins lining the walls, and in those bins, tens of thousands, or if you ask Marie, which is probably more accurate, hundreds of thousands of Legos. An entire room just for Legos. Being the youngest, I claimed the Legos my older brothers left behind, and unlike my brothers, I refused to leave them behind. That's why they are now there with us in the rental. And oh yeah, the boys love to play with Legos too. But Legos don't always bring us joy. It's absolutely devastating when you are working on a Lego set and that dreadful realization sets in. Now, if you've ever experienced this with Legos or a puzzle or a model of any kind, you know what I am talking about. All of a sudden, you realize a piece is missing. Panic and anxiety set in as you realize you won't have the fullness of its glory. The picture will remain incomplete, not working the way it should, until that final piece is found and restored to the whole. Yet somewhere along the way, a piece of Christianity has seemed to gone missing, and without it, we don't have the fullness of its glory. The picture remains incomplete, not working the way it should. Somewhere along the way, we seem to have lost the doctrine of the resurrection. And no, I'm not talking about the resurrection of Jesus. That is right where it should be most days. I'm talking about the resurrection of all people, and especially of all believers on the last day. It sure was lost on the Corinthians. The congregation in Corinth struggled in many ways as they were influenced by the culture that surrounded them, and philosophy was no exception. Greek philosophy elevated the immaterial above the physical, the soul above the body. Some believed our existence within this physical world was of no consequence, so they could do as they pleased with their bodies. While others went so far as to say that the physical world was evil and was actually a corruption of the perfect immaterial world. Those philosophies, though, could not be at greater odds with the faith that confesses a benevolent God made all things, spoke them into existence, creating us to be body and soul, and that this physical world was good. Even so, the Corinthians got sucked in and lost a piece of their faith, so that Paul had to remind them of the gospel by which they were being saved. Yet it isn't only the Corinthians, but all throughout history, we see times and places where the doctrine of the resurrection is almost completely lost. Even today, as we look around, we too seem to have gotten sucked in by modern descendants of Greek philosophy and seem to have lost this piece of our faith. We confess the doctrine of the resurrection every Sunday. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." And in the Nicene, we say, "And I look for the resurrection of the dead and of the life of the world to come." Even so, most Christians seem to be content to simply die and have their souls taken to be with Christ, for they are convinced that the spiritual is better than the physical. Popular culture has certainly helped this idea along with books, songs, and movies, and so on, romanticizing this spiritualized idea of heaven and everlasting life. But this is certainly not biblical. While we most assuredly agree that we desire to depart and be with Christ, as Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, we do so without downplaying or causing damage to the doctrine of the resurrection. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul says that in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked, that is, without a body. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Our desire to depart this life does not come because our bodies are a corruption of creation, a prison for our soul, but because our bodies and this life have been corrupted by sin, which produces in us all kinds of suffering and death. It is this sin and death that we want to come to an end, not life in the body. And in the resurrection, God has promised to glorify us in our bodies, bodies which He has made for us, in which sin is unable to dwell and death is unable to corrupt. For we were created body and soul. Without our bodies, we are less than we were created to be. We are missing a piece. We don't have the fullness of our glory. The picture remains incomplete, not working the way it should. And so too, our confession of faith is not all that it was meant to be without the resurrection either. But how important is this doctrine really? So what if we leave it off and forget to believe and confess it? Does it really do us any harm? Paul seems to think so. He says that it is essential, as the resurrection of the believers on the last day is inseparably tied with Christ's own resurrection. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. If this resurrection on the last day is purely spiritual, as some claim, then even Christ in his body did not raise from the dead. What's more, if Christ's body is still in the tomb, then our faith is a lie. If our faith is a lie, then we are still in our sins and condemned before God. If that were the case, Paul says, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus did rise from the dead. He appeared to Peter and James and all the apostles, to more than 500 brothers at one time. And he appeared also to Paul, that we might have their testimony and be confident in this. And just as Jesus rose from the dead, we too shall rise. How could the head have new life and yet leave his body dead and rotting? No. The death and resurrection of Jesus means an end to death and life for all who trust in Him. He is the first fruits, the first of the harvest, and after Him, when the time is right, the whole crop will be harvested as well. Just as Jesus has been glorified in His resurrection, we too shall be glorified as we rise to new life, body and soul. On that day, we will finally have the fullness of our glory, the complete picture, working the way we should, the way God created us to be, as that final piece having been found and restored. So too, let our confession of faith be made complete as we boldly confess with the saints that on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with our offering.